just want to open in prayer. Lord, thank you for the worship team leading us today. We just ask that you bless them for all of their service. Thank you, Lord, that we can come into your presence. We just ask that you would you just help us to stay in your presence for the rest of the day, and that we'd take your presence home with us. We'd walk through the week with you at our side. In Jesus' name, amen. I really appreciated Marie's words today. I mean, I don't know about you, but every now and then, I don't know what triggers it for me, but sort of maybe once every 6 months or so, I go down a rabbit hole. I start thinking about some of the things that I did before I became a Christian. And you know, I've done them. There's nothing I can do to undo them. And it is only the grace. You know, I get to a point usually much later than it should take, much longer than it should take me. But I get to a point where I think, yes, I've done all those things, but I am forgiven. You know, God's grace has set me free. And it's so true. You know, when God does seem to be hiding from us for whatever reason, we can trust in his grace. I'm going to start with the same scripture that I started my last sermon with. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27, if you want to turn there. If not, I'll read it. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Isaac, could you get me a drink of water, please? Thanks. The last time I used those verses to talk about our congregation here. But you know, today I want to use the same verse and talk about the wider church that's around the world. You know, I'm always amazed that, you know, on a Sunday, how many different churches meet in different parts of the world. You know, it's mostly on a Sunday. Sometimes people meet on a Sunday evening, some on Saturdays, but for the most part we meet on Sundays. You know, and God is, he's in each one of those congregations. He's in every person within each one of those congregations. You know? Thank you. But you know, God, he cares about our little congregation. You know? We're small. I think we have something like 37 official members. On a good day, we have 55 or 60 people in here. You know, but I believe that God wants us to know today, like I said last time, that individually we are all significant. As a church, we are significant. We have a role to play in the kingdom of God. You know, this little church that's located here has a part to play. You know, we can impact our city and even the world. I just want to read a prophetic word that was given to James Street by Mark Isles in 2010. Some of you may have been here when he gave this word, but Graham Bauer was the leader at the time, and I believe that most of the word that Mark spoke was for Graham, but there's a part here that Graham forwarded to me that was for James Street. You are the ears of the whole church. You need to find a voice in the city, a call to war, a call to values, and a call to stand. There's a special relationship with New Community, which is becoming important at this time. You have a part to play in their family life. Time to stop being the younger sister and bring your own special contribution. God wants to build a drug ministry base here. He will add key personnel to you in preparation for this, with experience and vision to take your work to the next level. I feel the next season is to journey into the community more. You need to develop simple tools designed for your community and their specific needs and problems. I sense you are in a battle for the heart of the church, a time to redefine and redeclare your vision and purpose. It feels like you're a mountaineering team that have come a long way from base camp and have just reached the camp prior to the final assault. It's time for rest, reorganization, and checking your equipment for the next season. God loves your heart and the warmth and the kindness that you walk in. It's undervalued and will be central in 2010. Be encouraged by the many good qualities you already have. There is a prayer artillery war needed for your community. The church needs to enter a period of speaking God's promises over the land and declaring the truths of the gospel of life. There is a renewed need for prayer walking and releasing personal deliverance in this season. That was on the 15th of January in 2010. Now, obviously, some of that is you know, from 2010, but I think a lot of that is still relevant now. You know, as a church, we've gone through a transition from one organization, FEIC, is that what it was called? Yeah, into the Pioneer Network. You know, so we're transitioning from there to there. We've gone through a transition where the leadership core is changing and becoming solidified. You know, we've been challenged by Alan Cox to redefine and refocus our values. Not that they're going to change necessarily, but just to, you know, to get a firmer grip on what our purpose is. You know, what have the values of James Street been for all of these years? And to keep pressing forward. You know, Mark Isles in 2010 prophesied there was going to be a drug ministry base here. You know, we've got Tricia Kenyon with the Waterfall Project partnering with James Street, and they're going to call their ministry the Rose Garden, which is going to meet here. I don't know if we know what day yet, but on Mondays. But you know, it's going to be for women who are coming out of substance abuse problems, lifestyles. You know, it's God is doing today what he said he was going to do in 2010. You know, James Street has a role to play. You know, that's our community, that's our city. We partner with New Community to some degree, but now as we're part of the Pioneer Network, we're part of a network that is a national network. If we choose, there are different initiatives that they do from time to time throughout the year. We don't have to do any of them, but we can join them if we want. We have a role that we can play there. We are invited. We have an open door. We have a seat at the table to do something in that context. You know, what else do we have here? We run the safe course here. We do the cafe. And nobody's been able to tell me when the cafe actually started. I was kind of hoping it would have started after 2010, but it seems to have started before that. But anyways, I thought it would have been kind of neat. But, you know, the cafe just pours into the community around here. You know, people come into the cafe, they get a taste of God's love when they're in here. Plus, they get fed. You know, that's a great thing. We've had other prophetic words recently. Denise Ward, I don't remember the exact wording, but the final point of it was that we're going to be known as a place that feeds the spiritually hungry. You know, we've been known as a place that feeds people physically. We're going to be known as a place that feeds people spiritually. Peter Banks, he painted a picture which we showed last week. People will come here and they'll have their thirst quenched. Same sort of thing, you know. It's a spiritual reality. Gemma, Allison's daughter, she had a prophetic word for the day on Easter Sunday that we were to open the doors and turn around and worship. And was it a week or two after that, a guy wandered in. He was drawn into the building. He was drawn in because God was here. It wasn't anything that we did. You know, all we did was we were obedient. We opened the doors and we turned around and we worshiped. You know, and he was drawn in. He cried the whole time he was here. He felt the presence of God. It was nothing that any of us did. Norman spoke to him. But I think other than that, that was the only physical only physical interaction, contact that he had when he was here. God drew him in. You know, it's God is the one that does these things. We can't force people to come into the church. We don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want people to come here because I force them. Those things are in our community. But, you know, can we have a wider impact? You know, we've got Ian Thompson here. You know, he runs a charity. And he, you know, he goes around to different countries. South Sudan?
Yeah, just came back from Tajikistan.
Tajikistan, you know, and he does all sorts of initiatives. Looks, listens to God and goes to these countries and listens to what God is calling him to do. And we sow into that ministry. We're not the only ones, but we sow into that ministry. You know, that's an impact that James Street is having in those countries. You know, we don't really think about it. Or maybe you do, I'm not really sure. But, you know, we need to celebrate it more. The School of Ministries. We heard Graham Bauer, those of us that were here on Tuesday nights, but everybody knows Graham because he led here. You know, he said that he looks after organizing the teaching for Africa. The School of Ministries, they train pastors and other church leaders that would have no opportunity to get any training at all. You know, they don't have the resources. They can't travel far enough to get to where they need to go to get to the schooling. But in the School of Ministries, by the grace of God, has been able to gain entrance into these countries. They have favor with the people, and they run Bible schools for these guys. And they lap it up. They can't get enough of it. They want more. And we sow into that. You know, that's not something that any of us physically go and do, although if you wanted to get involved with that, I'm sure you could talk to Graham, and he'd be more than happy to get you in there. They're always looking for people to do stuff. But financially, we sow into that. Charlie and his trips to Romania. You know, we're going to go. Is it December that we're going to go?
First week in December.
Yeah, first week in December. Again, you know, Charlie went last year. You know, we're going sowing physically. We're actually putting boots on the ground there. And we are having an impact. You know, we're taking Jesus, and we're showing these people through generosity, through our presence, and I mean our physical presence, not the presence that we're giving them, but also through what we're donating, we're showing Jesus' love. We're sowing seeds into those things. Is there anything else that I've forgotten that we do? Street pastors. Yeah, a local initiative, but still something that we sow into. You know, there's lots of stuff, and there's lots more stuff that we can do. You know, I mean, we have a whole community around us. I've really been challenged. When I was reading the prophetic word by Mark, I was really challenged about the prayer walk, because I felt for quite a while that I need to get out and actually just walk around this neighborhood, because I don't live here. You know, I drive here and I drive away. I don't know this neighborhood at all, you know, and I feel convicted that I need to. So I need to, you feel free to ask me about it, because, you know, it's something that I feel that I need to do. And, you know, that's the community.
We also contribute to the suffering church throughout the world through Open Doors. We do a little bit there.
Cool. Yeah. I kind of think, you know, when it's terrible that there's lots of parts of the church that are suffering and that are persecuted. There's lots of parts of the church that are blessed and honored as well. And I was thinking, we must be kind of bipolar in some ways, because if we're supposed to suffer when others suffer and rejoice when others are rejoicing, There's always both going on, isn't there? But we need to remember that when we rejoice, that there are actually parts of the body that are suffering. You know, we can pray, and that's what one of the things that we need to do is pray that that they're released from the persecution, that they're able to stand strong and proclaim the gospel in spite of the persecution that they're under. So, you know, God has a purpose for us, not only as individuals, but our congregation. He has a purpose for Little James Street. You know, I've heard people describe James Street, people within the congregation describe James Street as a quirky place. You know, that's great.
We like it.
Yeah, sure. We're a quirky place. But this little quirky place has a role to play. And there is something significant that that our congregation can do within the church of Jesus in the world. So last time I gave a couple of pictures of wolves. I don't have any wolf pictures today, but I do have a dog quote. Mark Twain, an American author, said, "It's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog." And I think that there are a lot of people in here who are really tenacious. You know, there's a lot of people in here, small congregation, but there's a lot of, I believe there's so much power in prayer in this building. You know, and I believe that God is going to use the resources, what little two mites that we have, that God is going to use those resources, prayer, finances, our physical ability to get out and do whatever it is that we're able to do, that He's going to use that and He's going to multiply it. You know, He will use it to plant seeds in the nations that we're going to, that we're praying for, that we're giving to. And we have the same Holy Spirit in us that was present in the early church.
Amen.
It's the same Holy Spirit. And the world is in just as much need now of Jesus as it was then. You know, it's a lost world. Some people in the church are lost as well, but that's a different sermon. But, you know, the world still needs the church. It needs Jesus. So, yeah, today is a Communion Sunday as well, and I'm going to turn over now to Wolfgang and Sylvia. But I just want you to go away and think about this Sunday and the last Sunday that I preached, and just think of the word significant, you know, and ask God, how am I significant? You know, I believe that everyone here is significant. Everyone here has a purpose.
Yeah.
You know, but sometimes we lose our purpose, or sometimes our purpose changes and we're sort of in a transition. You know, but I just challenge you all to ask God, what is my significance? Where am I supposed to pour in right now in this community, in the world?